Net Daily. World Net Daily is a Christian newspaper online. I don't support all of their Christian positions that they take. Some of them are pretty far out. But they had an article on there, and it's a letter from some archbishop. His name is Carlo Maria Vigano, and he was a formal papal ambassador to the United States. And he wrote a letter to Donald Trump, and this is the letter he wrote. See if I see where it starts. Well, let me just read what I have here. Says, in an open letter to the president, he warned of an initiative of the World Economic Forum that has emerged in reaction to COVID-19, calling for a, quote, great reset, unquote, of capitalism and a health dictatorship to combat the virus. Warning, the plan threatens the sovereignty of nations and religious freedom. Vigano wrote a letter to Trump in May warning that the COVID-19 pandemic was being used to usher in a world government stripping people of their freedoms. In a letter in June, he encouraged Trump in his fight against the deep state. He's known as a Vatican whistleblower, helping expose in 2012 the financial corruption scandal in the Holy See, and accusing Pope Francis and other church leaders in a 2018 letter of covering up sexual abuse allegations against former Cardinal Theodore McCarrick. In his latest missive to Trump, October 25, he warned the president that civil and religious authorities are ignoring to their peril the Great Reset, which already is being implemented in some nations. Allow me to address you at this hour in which the fate of the whole world is being threatened by a global conspiracy against God and humanity, Vigano began. I write to you as an archbishop, as a successor of the apostles, as a former apostolic nuncio to the United States of America. I am writing to you in the midst of the silence of both civil and religious authorities. May you accept these words of mine as the voice of one crying out in the desert. The archbishop said it's a historic moment in which the forces of evil are aligned in a battle without quarter against the forces of good. He cited attacks against the very basis of society, the natural family, respect for human life, love of country, freedom of education, and business. He said, we see heads of nations and religious leaders pandering to this suicide of Western culture and its Christian soul, while the fundamental rights of citizens and believers are denied in the name of a health emergency that is revealing itself more and more fully as an instrument to the establishment of an inhuman, faceless tyranny, Vigano wrote. He warned that the Great Reset already is underway. Its architect is a global elite that wants to subdue all of humanity, imposing coercive measures with which to drastically limit individual freedom and those of entire populations, he said. In June, Klaus Schwab, founder and executive chairman of the World Economic Forum, presented the Great Reset Plan. He wrote that the COVID-19 lockdowns may be gradually easing, but anxiety about the world's social and economic prospects is only intensifying. Warning, a sharp economic downturn has already begun, and we could be facing the worst depression since the 1930s. Said to achieve a better outcome, the world must act jointly and swiftly to revamp all aspects of our societies and economies, from education to social contracts to working conditions. So he's talking about making these adjustments, not in a positive way, but making these adjustments in a negative way. Every country from the United States to China must participate, and every industry from oil and gas to tech must be transformed. In short, we need a great reset of capitalism. The United States, however, has achieved the V-shaped recovery in gross domestic product promised by President Trump, with a record 33.1% GDP increase in the third quarter at an annualized rate after a 32.8% dive in the second. Vigano warned that the Great Reset Plan is deceptive, hidden behind tempting promises of ensuring a universal income and canceling individual debt. The price of these concessions from the International Monetary Fund will be the renunciation of private property and adherence to a program of vaccination against COVID-19 and COVID-21 promoted by Bill Gates with the collaboration of the main pharmaceutical groups. The Great Reset, he noted, will impose health passports, verifying who has been vaccinated, and a digital ID to track people, punishing anyone who doesn't cooperate. Mr. President, I imagine that you are already aware that in some countries, the Great Reset will be activated between the end of this year and the first trimester of 2021. For this purpose, further lockdowns are planned, which will be officially justified by a supposed second and third wave of the pandemic. You are well aware of the means that have been deployed to sow panic and legitimize draconian limitations on individual liberties. This governor of California, he's already said that they can celebrate Thanksgiving, but in order to celebrate Thanksgiving, they can only have a certain number of family members, and they have to be outside, and they have to wear masks except when they're taking a bite of food. So this whole thing is, it's really getting to the point where even the governor of Ohio is getting caught up in this thing. And he's even encouraging neighbors to spy on other neighbors and report them. That's pretty nasty. He said, you are well aware of the means that have been deployed to sow panic and legitimize draconian limitations on individual liberties, artfully provoking a worldwide economic crisis. In the intentions of its architects, this crisis will serve to make the recourse of nations to the Great Reset irreversible, thereby giving the final blow to a world whose existence and very memory they want to completely cancel. In contrast, the world, Vigano said, is filled with people, affections, institutions, faith, culture, traditions, and ideals. People and values that do not act like automatons, who do not obey like machines, because they are endowed with a soul and a heart, because they are tied together by a spiritual bond that draws its strength from above, from that God that our adversaries want to challenge, just as Lucifer did at the beginning of time with his non servium. In other words, he isn't going to serve God. Vigano said that until a few months ago, it was easy to smear as conspiracy theorists those who denounce these terrible plans, which we now see being carried down to the smallest detail. Among those who support the globalist aims, he said, is Pope Francis. As is now clear, the one who occupies the chair of Peter has betrayed his role from the very beginning in order to defend and promote the globalist ideology, supporting the agenda of what he calls the Deep Church, who chose him from its ranks. Vigano told Trump that his adversary is also our adversary, referring to Satan. Around you, he said, you are gathered with faith and courage, those who consider you the final garrison against the world dictatorship. He said, it's not surprising that the enemy is angered at being discovered. President Trump being the final garrison against a plan by globalists to exploit the coronavirus pandemic, contends Catholic Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano. That's his declaration. And then I went on to, he's known, Vigano wrote a letter to Trump in May warning and so forth, said he's known as a Vatican whistleblower and tells the things that he did to expose and his opposition to the Pope, and the Pope is a Jesuit. And that's one of the things that kind of gets lost in everything, the Pope is a Jesuit. And the more I thought about that, and he's the first Pope to be a Jesuit. Now, if you don't know about the Jesuits, I'll just give you a brief reminder. When Martin Luther, and today is kind of like Reformation Sunday, and it was actually yesterday was the celebration, but we'll call today Reformation Sunday. And when Martin Luther, who was called by R.C. Sproul in one of the videos Jim showed, that he said that Martin Luther was insane for a while. He had reached insanity. And the reason he had done that was because he was following the instructions of his teachers, etc., in his training to become a priest. And he never could find peace with God. He was always, always, always struggling to find it. He was always failing. And then they would tell him to do something, and he'd do it, and it didn't help. And finally, he went to Rome to see the relics, because the relics that the Roman Catholic Church has, this is one of the highest levels of superstition around, is that they have like a sliver from the cross, and they have some of Mary's hair. I don't know what all they have, but they have all this stuff. And so there, he was told that if he would go and see the relics, that he would get the gift of a certain amount of time off of purgatory, and that this would be a great blessing. Well, you don't know how long you're supposed to be in purgatory. If you're going to be there a million years, what's a couple years off? That ain't a big deal. It's until all of your sin is purged out, because they do not accept the work of Jesus Christ in the Roman Catholic Church. They don't accept the work of Jesus Christ as sufficient. And instead of Christ doing the work and then God by grace giving it to you and counting you as saved because of Christ's work, the Catholic Church teaches that you have to develop that. And that this is the Holy Spirit comes and helps you, and then you get more perfect and more perfect and more perfect. And that's not how it works. So this cardinal, he would still be a part of that, but he's obviously more conservative, and he's seen these other things. So he said the alternative is to vote for a person who is manipulated by the deep state. That would be, instead of Donald Trump, you'd vote for Joe Biden, actually for the woman. Gravely comprised by scandals and corruption. All right, this is his description. The alternative is to vote for a person who is manipulated by the deep state, gravely compromised by scandals and corruption, who will do to the United States what Pope Francis is doing to the church. Said Prime Minister Conte to Italy, President Macron to France, Prime Minister Sanchez to Spain, and so on. He said the blackmailable nature of Joe Biden, think of that, the blackmailable nature of Joe Biden, just like that of the prelates of Vatican's magic circle, will expose him to be used unscrupulously, allowing illegitimate powers to interfere in both domestic politics as well as international balances. And it just occurs to me, I got away from my Jesuit thought. When Luther did this, in time, it actually started with Wycliffe, and we don't even know because we don't have accurate history from the fourth century when the Roman Catholic Church came into existence, somewhere about that time. And the time up to about the 13th century when Wycliffe came on the scene. So we don't have much there that we can go back and read and study. There are little bits and pieces of letters from guys who were pastors of churches and somehow had gained, just like they do today, they gain recognition. And as a result, they are called in for seminars and so forth to speak. So there's a little bit of that. But then when Wycliffe comes, Wycliffe is given by God the revelation in his spirit that the people don't know the Bible. Obviously today that's happening. There are people today who are getting this reality. The people don't know the Bible. And a lot of these people are in churches. And in the churches have become what I call social clubs. That's really there. The people get along great. They have a great time together. They do things together. They might be charitable and they do things like that, but they are just basically a big social club. And the reality of Scripture is not among them, and the reality of Christ is not among them, and the Holy Spirit is not among them. But they don't know that because they are very comfortable in this fellowship that they have. So when Luther, he disrupts everything by starting to find fault with paying the money for what, honey? For indulgences. He sees that this is wrong. And they have this thing, you know, if you go to Rome to see the relics, you run into Tetzel's people, and they're sitting at a table, and they they have a document and you give money and then they sign the document that gives you time off purgatory. And then they ring a bell and they have this saying, every time a bell rings, a soul from purgatory springs. Now, if you ever saw the movie that Jimmy Stewart made about Christmas, well, how does that end? They ring the bell, and every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings. That's nothing more than every time a bell rings, a soul from purgatory springs, but they just changed it. They put the same thing in there. So as Wycliffe starts this thing, and it gets up to Luther, and what it came to be known as the Reformation, and what the Reformation was simply this. They went back to the book. And Wycliffe, this priest, says that nobody knows the Bible. So he writes one, and he puts it in the English language, and you can actually go online, and you can see it, and you can read it. No, you probably can't read it, because it's the Old English, and the Old English is vastly different from what we call English, but it's on there. You can actually, you can read his, you can read Tyndale's, you can, they're all online. So as Wycliffe begins to go abroad, he gets these people, and these people start working with him, and the next thing you know, they're putting Bibles into people's hands, and these people are leaving the Roman Catholic Church because they're seeing that what their church is teaching them is not scripturally accurate. Well, eventually, that creates a real stir up at the Vatican, and they decide they have to take some course of action against the Reformation. So they got this guy, this priest, to start, we'll call an organization, in which they begin to take priests and they train them. And in this training, they completely break their will. Their will is totally devastated, and they become just whatever the Black Pope says to do, who is the general of the Jesuits, whatever he says to do, they do. There's no question. Because they are doing it for Mary, and they're doing it for the church, and they're doing it for the Pope, and they're doing it for whatever, all the reasons they pronounce. And so they are at liberty to become Protestant ministers. They can be given a pastoral ministry in a Protestant church. They can marry. They can have children. They can do all the things that a Protestant minister would do, but their function is to go into that Protestant church and begin to little by little introduce Roman Catholic doctrine and begin to turn them back. I don't know if you ever saw that sign, something about Catholics coming home or Christian down at St. William's. And that's what they're doing. They're trying to turn people back to the Roman Catholic Church in order to destroy the fruit of Luther's work and then all the other guys that came along in there. So the Jesuits are still very active today, and what they finally did, along with their activity of going into countries and actually taking physical action against people, they're killing priests. They're killing Christians who are not Catholic. They're doing these things. They started schools. And so we have across, I don't know if John F. Kennedy, but I wouldn't be surprised if what John F. Kennedy's a Jesuit school. And Notre Dame College is a Jesuit school. And there are Jesuit schools all over the place. Bill Clinton was trained in a Jesuit school. So he had the Jesuit mentality. The Jesuit mentality says the end always justifies the means. So you can do anything. I said you can commit murder, you can steal, you can lie, you can cheat, so long as what you're doing is satisfying the means of the restoration of the Roman Catholic Church and the destruction of Reformation doctrine especially. You want to destroy people, but you mainly want to destroy the doctrine because the Bible is second in rank to tradition with the Roman Catholic. Now, that's a lot of stuff I've said to you in a short time that you have to do your own research and you have to get in and actually find it all. But this guy is a priest, and he's probably not a Jesuit. And the Pope is a Jesuit. So the Jesuit, I've thought about this, he's in a predicament because he has to be, the Pope has to give 100% loyalty to the Black Pope, who is the head of the Jesuits. I thought, how do you do that? How do you have a Pope who is supposed to be the head of the church, who is in submission to the black pope. And so if the black pope is giving orders to do what this guy is describing, some of the things he's done, he has no choice. He has to do it. Or he may be dead in the next day and they'll have a new one in there. So he's talking about, behind it, he's talking about the Roman Catholic Church in league, which we see in Revelation 13. That's a part of the Revelation 13. You see this where it gains power and gains power, and the reason is the people don't know the Bible. So God has these folks all over the world. And all over the world, there are people, possibly in small gatherings. Sometimes there's outbreaks, such as in the Philippines. The Philippines had this tremendous move of God over there, and the number of Christian schools just that ACE is servicing in the Philippines has exploded. When we had our last teachers' convention a year ago, we had the teachers' convention. We had, what'd you say, 110, 115 people there. Wasn't a big crowd. The same day we were having, we got a 2-day last time, but on the second day, on the second day of that we had 100 something, because we lost some overnight, Philippines was having theirs and they had 10,000. 10,000 people in the Philippines at a Christian Educators Convention, and in Ohio, a little over 100. And Ohio used to be one of the biggest in the country. So the training of the kids began to fall off because now they're in public school. And they're beginning to recognize that now. Now, Donald Trump is either, is her name Betsy DeVos? It's DeVos, the secretary. Either she's had access to his ear, and she has put in stuff that he has listened to, and now he's promoting, which he said in his speech, you know, they have corrupted our children, and we have to get back to teaching our history and teaching so forth. Well, can you imagine how long that's going to take? That's going to take a long time to establish this. So this guy writes to him, and he says to him, in the end of this, well, he's talking about Joe Biden here. He said, Joe Biden, just like the prelates of the Vatican's magic circle, which I'm not sure what that is, who have exposed him to be used unscrupulously, allowing illegitimate powers to interfere in both domestic policies as well as international balances. It's obvious that those who manipulate him already have someone worse than him ready. Kamala Harris. They have someone worse than him ready, but if somehow Biden would win this election, that would be an act of God. If Biden wins the election, then I said it could be the same day as the inauguration. It could be any moment after the inauguration. They apply the 25th Amendment. They declare him unfit for service. He's out. They put Harris in as president. They could very easily move a Nancy Pelosi in as the vice president. And then they could get rid of Harris if they wanted to. So this is a crazy thing that's going on. So he makes reference, this pope makes reference to the person being worse, and he makes reference to Kamala. Then he said, but there is hope. Vigano maintained that the Great Reset is destined to fail because those who planned it do not understand that there are still people ready to take to the streets to defend their rights, to protect their loved ones, to give a future to their children and grandchildren. The leveling of inhumanity of the globalist project will shatter miserably in the face of the firm and courageous opposition of the children of light. He said the enemy has Satan on its side. He only knows how to hate. But on our side, we have the Lord Almighty, the God of armies arrayed for battle. Unfortunately, he sticks in Mary, the Most Holy Virgin, who will crush the head of the ancient serpent. So if you just take the Lord God Almighty, the God of armies arrayed for battle, who will crush the head of the serpent, and then he finishes by saying, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? All right? Then he closed with this charge. Mr. President, you are well aware that in this crucial hour, the United States of America is considered the defending wall against which the war declared by the advocates of globalism has been unleashed. He said, place your trust in the Lord. This is his counsel to Trump. Place your trust in the Lord, strengthened by the words of the Apostle Paul, who said, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. To be an instrument of divine providence is a great responsibility, for which you will certainly receive all the graces of state that you need, since they are being fervently implored for you by the many people who support you with their prayers. So this guy has a positive ending because of the people. Said they don't know. They got all these people that are praying for him and are kind of standing their ground and so forth. And that as a result, Satan will be defeated and this global thing will be defeated. So that's an encouragement. But at the same time, I was talking with Doug yesterday, and there is so much emphasis on Donald Trump, and Donald Trump being the hope, which I don't have a problem with that. If he is God's man, that's who he is, God's man. But I told Doug, I said, but what I don't hear anybody saying is, even if he's elected, he only gets 4 years. And at the end of 4 years, who's going to step in there? In other words, you've got to be training some people. You have to be recruiting people who are truly Christian people. They can't just be Jews, because Jews are outside the camp. It can't be the highest level of intelligent professors at the colleges. It can't be these kind of, it has to be people who are committed to Christ. And God has people committed to him in every walk of life, in every ministry, in every profession. There are people, they just are so thoroughly hidden because they've never had to take a stand. And now we're there. I in this situation where Bob is in, he goes for his sentencing on the 1st of December. And I told Doug, I said, What I have in my chest is this thing that says, come against the demons that control the judge. You come against the, who do we wrestle against? Let me go back and read that. Hannah, who do we wrestle against? You remember? Satan. But do you remember what it said in Ephesians when we talked about Ephesians and who it is we wrestle against? Principalities. That's right. You hear principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and wicked spirits. So he said, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And that's what these people who are not knowledgeable actually think, that we're wrestling against flesh and blood. We're actually fighting Nancy Pelosi. We're actually fighting against Chuck Schumer. We're actually fighting against Dianne Feinstein. And so they take a human and they put them up there and they have a role, but they are not the power. The power is satanic power. So the church comes in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, if you take Satan and put him against the Holy Spirit, who is God, Satan is like a cricket standing against a dinosaur. He can't conquer. You can't conquer God. So when Paul writes this, I'm just going to read this in Ephesians 6, and I'm going to look at a couple other scriptures here. It says, finally, my brethren, now this, let me back up and say that, first of all, he's giving counsel concerning parents training their children. He's giving counsel concerning servants working for their bosses. He's giving counsel with the masters treating the servants correctly. He goes through this part, and then he says, finally, who's he writing to? My brethren, finally, my brethren. Be strong in the Lord. Prepositional phrase, in the Lord. That's a qualification and it's a limitation. You have to be strong in the Lord and you can only be strong in the Lord. You can't be strong somewhere else. You're going to have to be strong in the Lord. Now, whatever your gift is, whatever your talent is that God gives, will be empowered more as the Lord is got control and actually the one working it. But you be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So when we look at these pagans who are screaming, who are out in the streets doing all their damage, who are lying through their teeth about everything, they have no concept that there even is a God. Even Nancy Pelosi tries to put on her show because she's Roman Catholic. I don't think she really is. I think she is, and it's like Republican in name only. And because she supports the killing of babies. How can she be Roman Catholic? Because I don't think they support killing babies yet. They support, unfortunately, other things that are wrong. So you have her always raising her voice and talking about how she loves Donald Trump and prays for him. She's lying through her teeth because she can't pray. If you're not in the kingdom, if you're not in Christ, if you are not empowered by the Holy Spirit, you can't pray. Even the prayer of salvation, think about this. Even the prayer of salvation can only be spoken by the Holy Spirit's work. What did Jesus say? Nobody can come to me unless my Father draws him. Nobody can come. My Father has to draw him. You can't. You can use all your intellect. You can use all your scheming. You can use all the gimmicks. It don't work. God has to draw them to Christ. And then Jesus said, when that's happened, they come to me, God draws them to me, I will never lose any of them. So those in Christ, these are the brethren that Paul is talking to, being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now the power of his might starts in the scripture. You don't get the power of his might outside of the scripture. Because it has to be lawful. It has to be something God has approved, God has declared, God has enforced. It is God's power. So what happens when you get saved? You're this scum of a sinner, and you are bound for hell, and everything you're doing is wrong, and one day somehow God the Holy Spirit convinces you that you need help. I'm in Ephesians 6, but so you don't have to change it. But let me go back to John 16. This is the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now let's see what it says. It says in verse 7 of 16, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. Expedient means it can't happen unless. It's expedient for you that I go away. Because what I'm going to tell you cannot happen unless I go away. Because as long as I'm here on the earth, I'm the one performing the work. I am one single individual working with you guys, trying to teach you guys. But if I go away, something else is going to happen. So it's expedient that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. Christ has to be at the right hand of the Father for the Holy Spirit to come. So these guys they're out in the boonies, and Jesus is telling them. Now, look what it says in verse 8. I'll send him to you, but when he is come, he will convince, the word reprove in the King James, the word convince, the world of sin. Now, he doesn't convince the world of sin. He convinces the chosen of sin. They live on the earth. They're a part of the world, but they are not of the world. And those are the ones that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, convinces. They have been ordained to be convinced. There's nothing else can happen to them. So Christ, keep your finger there, and let's just go back and do another review. Back in the 6th chapter of John, this is, you have to prove what you're saying. If I say they will come, the Holy Spirit will convince them of sin, and I say they can't be convinced of sin unless God has already ordained it so that they'll come to Christ, I have to have some evidence. And my evidence are the words of Christ. If I can't accept the words of Jesus, whose words am I going to accept? I'm going to listen to Donald Trump is a human being. I don't even know where Donald Trump stands with the Lord. He speaks of the Lord. He makes reference to the Lord. He's gotten stronger in that as he's gone along, but I don't really know where he stands. I am not God. I can't read his internal man. I hear him say the same things everywhere he goes. I hear him say some things that I think are just out and out, nothing more than political rhetoric to gain a vote from the women. I'm going to put a woman on the moon, and we're going to put an astronaut on Mars. So what? I don't care about that. That don't solve anything. So Jesus says in John 36, all, verse 37, all, in chapter 6, verse 37, all that the Father has given me, he's already given them to me, shall come to me. Well, then you can't, if you've been given, you can't not come to Christ. You come to Christ. And him that comes to me, who the Father gave him, I will in no wise cast out. So you can't, this is where the legalists love to get into their doctrine of losing your salvation. Hey, man, you better watch out. You did this, you're going to lose your salvation. You're going to be lost. And say, well, you're arguing with Christ. If Christ says you can't, who are you to say you can't? Oh, well, they say that doesn't mean that. Well, then tell me what it means. If you're going to tell me it doesn't mean that, you have to tell me what it means. Don't just tell me you don't mean that. They're just telling me you don't believe it. I don't care if you believe it. If you believe it or don't believe it, it doesn't change it. All right? Hannah's wearing a blue dress. You can believe she's wearing a blue dress, or you cannot believe she's wearing a blue dress. You can call it orange. Hannah, that's really a nice polka dot dress you have on. It don't change anything. It's still a blue dress, right? Okay, that's the way this works. This is what we call sealed in stone. This is rock. All the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will. Now, wait a minute. This is the Son who is perfect, who is divine in nature and human in nature, who is a part of the Godhead, who knows the Father because they're one, who says, this is my Father's will. That secures it. Of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day, and this is the will of him that sent me. So that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him, there's your qualifier, you see the Son and believe on him, may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. So this is the person who is strong in the Lord. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. Don't try to be strong somewhere. You know, quit going into places that offer you entertainment and offer, I don't care what they offer you, if they don't offer you a full understanding of the will of God. Because if they don't, you're wasting your time. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Put on, now you have to do something. In my bulletin today, I put on the front, I put a picture of Luther nailing the thesis on the door. And I asked the question, if one single act, because Luther did a whole lot more than that, if one single act of a man gained such recognition, one act, you walk out and nail the thing on, that isn't even it. That's like he's putting up there his list of things he's going to talk about, and he's going to be telling them, I'm going to be telling you about the Betty told me they are. Yeah, I forget that quick. The indulgences, and he's gonna what we call rip them up, and they're gonna spy on him, and he's gonna get in trouble, and they'll put him on trial. And what happens? We have a second act. What's the second act? Where he says, "Here I stand. Here I stand." So you have three acts. So I said on the front, if this happens on the back, I said, then do something. And let God determine where it fits in history. I don't know where it fits in history. I come in here every day and I work with kids and I try to teach these kids and I try to encourage them. I try to rebuke them when necessary. I don't know how this is going to work out. I won't know until everything ends, and everybody that's going to be comes into heaven, and then we'll see how many of them are there. Like I said, I had somebody send me this is crazy, somebody I don't even know who sends a birthday thing that tells me what a wonderful man I am. I don't even know who it was. He's a wonderful man. Thank you. I'll hire you as my agent. I don't know you. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So that you may be able means when you put the armor God, the ability is the ability of the Holy Spirit, and you will actually stand against triumphantly. Now, if I go from there, let's see here. Let's go over to 1 Peter. These are very familiar. 1 Peter chapter 5, where he gives us instruction, or 2 Peter rather, I think. Let me see here, 2 Peter 5. Which one is it that has a teaching about the elders? It's 1 Peter 5. Yep. 1 Peter 5. He tells us what to do as elders in the church. And then he says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory. Do it. You'll receive a crown of glory. I don't even know what a crown of glory looks like. You'll receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Then he said, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility and so forth. And then we get down to verse 7, casting all your care upon him. In other words, you're taking whatever the care is, you have a person given you by Almighty God that you can take it over and dump it on him. Now, if you have people dumping on you, right, say, you do this responsibility and that responsibility. When I was at Christ Memorial, I had 10 different jobs in that church. I almost never slept. I was going all the time. It totally messed up my family life because I was so occupied with trying to do something for the Lord in this church. And it almost killed me. I was doing it all. And I don't know whatever came out of it. There might have been something. So he said, cast your care on him. All right? That doesn't mean you don't stay active, but it means you let him have it. Then he said, be sober, all right, sensible, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom? Resist. But don't just resist. Resist him steadfast. Where? In the faith. In the faith takes me back over to John 6. Oh, I was given to Christ by Almighty God. I have the promise of Jesus Christ that he'll never lose me. That doesn't make me perfect. It means I can't be lost. But he's certainly going to work in me to try to purify and correct things that need corrected so that I come to the point of what we'll call full submission, where holiness is really developing inside of me, and I'm able to see the devil when he sticks his head up and recognize him and flee from him. So he said, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that whatever's happening to you, the same afflictions, are accomplished in your brethren all over the place. You're not alone in having the problem you're having. There's thousands that we don't even know about that are having these problems and in worse shape, worse condition, probably in some cases. I just read yesterday that because of this COVID thing, one of the side effects of the COVID thing is that there, I forget what the million number was, 3 million, something like that, 3 million or 3, whatever, I don't remember, it was a big number, are going to starve to death. Because the people running the COVID thing have shut down the businesses that produce the food and make the food available, which largely from our country, we ship out to a lot of other countries, it comes from other places, and since they're not able maybe in their country to grow, or I don't know what the reason, all these people are going to die of starvation. I don't know that I'd like to die of starvation. I think that would be an awful thing because you got to be hungry to a point that I'm wondering if the hunger disappears. You finally get in starvation where the hunger disappears. And thirst, that's going to happen. So he said, keep in mind, this is happening all over the place. It's easy to get caught up in the idea that you've been singled out and you're the only one that's got the problem. That's not true. So he said, these things are happening in your brethren that are in the world. But in verse 10, he said, the God of all grace, who has called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. So the suffering compared to the other is short term, but the fruit of the suffering is being perfect, established, strengthened, and settled. Now, I don't know, I'd have to take time to really sit down and ponder each of those things to say, how do you recognize it? What are you looking for? When you're looking for this person, Charles, that was my roommate, bless his heart, he tells me how he got saved at Christ Memorial Baptist Church and how he got baptized at Christ Memorial Baptist Church. And then he went kittywampus. And then he says to me, you don't have to be a Christian, you just have to believe. That's what he said. You don't have to be a Christian, you just have to believe. So he said, I was praying this morning. So I set him straight. I said, first of all, you can't believe if you're not a Christian. Belief is through Christ. And you come to Christ, and then the Holy Spirit gives you what? He gives you faith. I don't know who I heard teach it. This has been a while ago. And the teaching was that regeneration comes before faith. And the idea was that God brings you to confession, conviction, and so forth, and you surrender to him. But now, through the word, he begins to build the faith in you. And it's not just one simple little thing. It's the entire body of doctrine that God has. So this is Peter's input onto this thing, which is an encouragement that we can do this. And back in the book of James, just this is my last one, the fourth chapter of James, we have the same kind of a comment from James. In verse 5, he asks the question of the fourth chapter of James. He asks the question, do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwells in us lusteth to envy? He's talking about some problems they're having with wars and fightings and all that sort of thing. And then he said, do you think that's true? In your humanity, your sinful nature still being active, do you think it's possible that you have these things that cause you to have the wars and the fightings? And then he says, but he gives more grace. So if you are his, that doesn't mean you're not gonna falter sometimes. Of course you are. You have a sin nature. But it means you're not gonna be conquered. And the conquering is the Holy Spirit's. He gives more grace. Wherefore, God is doing the resisting. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And now he says, submit to God in order. Submit to God, then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he'll lift you up. In other words, if you belong to Jesus, you cannot be defeated. It is an impossibility to be defeated. You can have some defeats. You can lose some battles. But you can't be defeated. And a lot of times it is the battle that does the strengthening for greater victory as you go along, and maybe in the same way, maybe in a different way. My time is up. I have to quit.